Well, we're thankful for another opportunity to get to come to God's house to worship Him in spirit and truth, and glad for this opportunity that God's given each and every one of us. We are at our last one of the seven, is Giving Like You Mean It. And this has been a fun series. It's been a lot of laughs and really laughing about a lot of truths. So we're thankful for that. First thing that we're going to ask you to do is stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to be in the book of Acts, starting in the second chapter, the 42nd verse of the book of Acts. We'll start there. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us once again. Lord, we understand, Father, this morning how important it is that, Lord, that we listen to your word, Lord, Father. And I pray that if there's someone here that's lost, that they would be saved, Lord, Father. And just touch all of our lives. Show us the directions that we need to go, that we would, Lord, have a cheerful heart, Lord, and be receptive of the gospel. Lord, I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that responsibility. We ask your blessing and favor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, giving. Oh, don't you love it? It's like all of a sudden I heard it was like when you say giving, everybody's like, yeah, nobody wants to talk about it. You know, and I guess it's probably because that's the way the church and we as religious and we we've created this atmosphere that when we begin to talk about giving, you know, it's something that's amazing. When we talk about giving, it really does come down to personal. It really does. It doesn't, it's not with you and anybody else, but it really does come down between you and God and your finances. And I think it's, you know, that's quite strange that we've created such a tension when we talk about giving, because there's great blessing in what God wants to do in all of our lives when we talk about giving. And, you know, when the preacher mentions giving, and I'm going to tell you right now, your pastors are not driving Bentleys to church, okay? We're not doing that. And that's not what we have to preach on giving. But it's one of those things, the commands, and it's in the Bible, and it's one of our purposes of our church that we want to talk about. But we want to change this mindset and this perspective on it being such a negative or a tender subject to talk about. It's a joyful thing. Let's talk about this. Let's see how God can evaluate us and what we can do about it to get closer to Him and to spread the word throughout all nations. What do we need to do that? So I think we kind of need to change that. And I, you know, in my 18 years of ministry, I have never, and I talked to Grant about this, I have never heard or seen a situation where someone was in financial ruins because they gave to God first. There's never anyone. I talked to Grant. He said, I've not really sat with anybody and had that discussion either about how that. But they gave to God first, but they was just in financial ruins after that because they gave to God. Nobody has ever had that conversation with me. And that's 18 years. So that tells a lot. I think it's just our perspective and our mindset and when we think about giving and how we give and the perception of giving. And there's a couple things. Here's what giving is not. Okay, here's what tithing is not. Tithing is not, I serve at the church, I give my time, that's tithing. That it's not that. Okay, because we know what tithe means, right? If you look it up, tithe means tenth. That's what it means. It means tenth. I mean, it's 10%, tenth. Okay, so thinking that I do all of these things for the church and I teach for the church and that's not tithing. That's not tithing and honoring God at all. And something else, that it's not donating your money to other organizations. That's not tithing either. There's no truth into that. Yeah, you may be helping them out, but that's not tithing and truly honoring God And we'll get into that in just a little bit as we go this. But we just make it kind of a little touchy situation. And, you know, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor him with your wealth. And I think that we all are in the same boat, and we've all struggled with this before. Except Pastor Grant, he's a saint. Okay? We've all struggled with this before. It's common because we're human. We're human. Every one of us are human when we talk about this morning. But I think just maybe this morning, just maybe, if we can change this perspective and attitude on this, I think God will be able to open a lot of doors for all of us in our Christian walk with him. And I say that because I want you to draw your attention to this testimony here on the video screen. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, give a round of applause. That's good. That's good. So if y'all, that's Todd and April Baker. If you don't know them, you need to get to know them. They're great, great individuals. Todd's a goofball. He doesn't have a mean bone in his body. But we didn't approach Todd on about this at all. He, after this challenge, he come up to Pastor Grant and myself, and he's like, man, I just got to tell you what God's doing. And he shared this testimony with us, and we asked him, it wasn't script out. We didn't script it out for him and tell him to say, but it was a true blessing on what God did in their life just because they were faithful. And, you know, and the perception that we don't need to get, though, is just because I give God $100, he's going to give me $200. That's not what we want. That's not what we're trying to get. This is how, it's a unique situation on how he blessed Todd and April because they were faithful with tithing. And they started that challenge. And I'm so thankful for people in our church. And I'm sure there's many others here that have a testimony quite like that. But I'm thankful for them being willing to share that. So when we think about tithing and we think about giving and stuff, I'm my happiest when I'm giving. You know, doesn't it feel good to give? When you're helping someone out or you're giving, and it just makes you feel better. It just does. I think it's how it's designed. It just makes you feel good when you're giving. There's just something about it. And when you're happy, it just usually makes all areas of your life pretty happy as well. You don't look at the bad or the negative in that. But we're going to go in the book of Malachi. Okay. We're going to go over in the book of Malachi. Real familiar, all you Bible scholars, you probably know where I'm going in the third chapter. It's even titled Robbing God. Robbing God is what it's titled. But here's the thing. I think a lot of times when we see that, we look at this. When I begin to read over and over and over and over, and I've read this hundreds of times in the past few weeks, and I just read it. I don't see, and here's why it's such a sensitive subject to talk about, is because we've made it like God is condemning him and he's coming down and going to get his wrath on you because you're not giving. And we've made it like an atmosphere like that. But when I read this, I don't see that. I see God as an instructional God, a giving instruction and saying, you know, here is a better way if you'll just listen to my instructions on what I do and try them out. Your life could be better if you'll just listen to this. So, third chapter, 6th verse, it starts here. It says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. The one thing I love in this little snippet right here, it says, for I, the Lord, do not change. And that's very important when it comes to any aspect of our walk with Christ. It's very important that we understand that, because what if God changed when we had a bad attitude? What if God changed when we weren't giving to him? What if God changed when we were living a reckless life out here? What if he's changed? But he's assuring them, I don't change, you know. I don't change in any situation. I am God. I'm who I'm always was, and that's who I'm always going to be, and I want better for you. So he's making this right here. It's not that I'm going to change my mind about you. No, I love you, and I want a better path for you is what God is what Malachi is telling the people here. And it says, from the days, in the 7th verse, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. It says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Here's something that I love about God. He's always, and when he says return to me, he's always extending an invitation. He's always, and I'm glad that we still believe in a time of an altar prayer of invitation, but he's always extending an invitation to you and I. See, he said, you know, here I am, return to me. He's inviting you to come back. And what he's not saying here, he's not saying I left you. He's saying you guys left me. You left me, return to me, and I will return to you. So if he went from an invitation to a promise. He went from an invite to, guess what? If you will return, I will return to you. I'll be right there. I'll be there. I'm right here waiting for you. I've went nowhere. I'll be right here waiting for you. And that's important that we understand it, because God is always a giving God. He's always a giving God. Always. No matter what situation you're in, it doesn't seem, but he's always a giving God. It says, But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? Right here is where it normally stops. Right here is where the hammer normally goes down. And I come from old school, and I've stopped right here before. And I went into this mode. There's a lot of God robbers in the house this morning. Amen. We got a bunch of God robbers, and this is the way. This is where the message normally goes south, and where people normally tone it out, and you lose them, and they lose it. He's condemning me. And that's where you knew that you go old school preacher on him. God, you're robbing God. You're robbing God. No, I don't see this right here. Here's what I see is I see when I read this, I see God seems to be heartbroken over the terms, because not so much about God, but about their unfaithfulness. He's concerned, you know. God's not setting back saying, you know, son, we got to do some renovations here in heaven. And that street of gold, it just isn't shiny like it needs to be. So we need to make sure that those people are giving their money. God is not doing that. He's not worried about getting a new pair of Nikes. He's not worried about what kind of mansion he's building on Fifth Street. He's not worried about, that's not the guy. God is not this object God that we view as someone. He's not sitting back thinking, well, I need their money. God doesn't need your money, but what he does want to see is your faithfulness in giving, is what he wants to see. So he's instructing them here. You know, he's saying right here, this is what it is. So God, I think God is heartbroken because of their unfaithfulness, and he's wanting them to try to see here that there's a better way. And it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And he didn't say, here's another one I think he's trying to instruct. He didn't say, I will curse you. He didn't say, you don't give, I will curse you. He's basically saying, you've cursed yourself. You've cursed yourself by not being faithful and giving the tenth that I asked for. You've cursed yourself. Basically, there is a better way. There is a better way. And I don't want you to sit here and feel just this, you know, and a lot of just, it's just a lot. I can't even breathe because I know that I'm not. That's not what it is. It's about starting now and saying, okay, God, I'm gonna step up in this challenge that God is challenging me. Okay, because there is a better way. We're our happiest when we're giving to God. We are our happy. And here's one I like. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. He says, bring the full tithe. Okay, so what does tithe mean? It means what? What did I say? Tenth. So it sounds to me like this group of individuals, they were tipping God. They were tipping him. They were saying, okay, the offering plate comes around. There's a 50, but I'll give this 5. Sounds to me like that they were doing the same things that they were guilty of. They're just tipping God. But he said, bring the whole tithe. And here's the question I get. Where should I tithe? He tells you, at your storehouse. Where's your storehouse? The place where you worship and call home. It's a place where you worship God. That's where you give your story. And I'm going to tell you, it's right here. It's what he's instructing. This is where you give it. If you've got any questions, give it where you worship God at, where you call, a place you call home. That's where you give it at. But he's instructing them. It could be, there's just a better way. There's just a better way. And, you know, about we're tipping. And here's, let me show you how simple this. Okay. It's not common core math. You educators, I know you'd laugh. It's not common core math, because common core math, we'd all be dead before we figure out what a tenth really was. Okay, here's what God's saying. God is saying, I'll give you $100, you give me $10. You see how easy that is? I'll give you $100, so for every $100, you give me $10. That is simple. And then he says, you can have the 90 and you can do what you want. But first of all, you didn't make your money. You didn't make, God allowed you. So it's his anyway. And we all understand that. That's why we understand it's God's anyway. But it's not really hard to understand. And then what it says here, may be food in the house. God is always providing. He's always providing. And it's amazing. I'm my happiest when I truly are giving to God like I'm supposed to. But here's what I think. I got three approaches for you this morning. Three approaches that we thought about. Three approaches that we think about. And I think that each of us fall in probably one of these three. I know that I have personally fell in all three of these situations. And there's a situation, the approach when we think about tithing. Because tithing really is to anything that we do to God. It really is about attitude. About what kind of attitude that we have about it. Because if we've got good attitude about it, we're going to be willing to give what God wants us to give. But here's the three approaches. It says, here's the first one. It says, I got to give. That's one approach. Here's the second one. And I give to get. So I got to give. I give to get. And here's the last one. I get to give. So these are all three different scenarios, and I'm gonna explain them to you here. So this got to give approach, or in another word that I come with, guilt to give approach. This got to give approach, it's kind of making God out as like a tax collector. April 15th rolls around. God's going to come and collect his money. We need to make sure that we get it. So this mentality that I've got to give. I just got to give. I've got to give. That's a mentality that we had. We make it more like it's an obligation to God instead of a faithfulness to God. An obligation. I've got to give. I've got to give. We make it. And I have failed in that category before. I've been right there with that before. And then here's the second one. I give to get. Man, I've seen this. I've done this. I give to get. Here's what we do. We make God, when we think of this approach, we make God out as a robot. I give to get. And what happens is he's like a vending machine. I put in my 50 cents. He gives me a Fifth Avenue bar. I put in my dollar. I get a pop. That's how we make God out as being, is you go from got to give, or I give to get. It's like, I give to God, but I'll get all this back. I give. It's more. It becomes more about you than it is really about giving because of faithfulness and saying, man, this is just God. This is just God. This is what God wants us to do. And then there's another approach. So in the got to give, we feel like obligated. In the give to get, we're about manipulating God. If I give him 100, he'll give. You know, it's manipulating. It's like playing a game with God. But there's a third approach that allows you to get broken free and set free from all of these negative thoughts that you ever thought about giving and being. So I don't want to give, I don't feel like giving. But it helps you to break free of all of these walls that we have created, and it's the get to give. Get to give approach. I think about it, because I've been in all three. I get to give. what God has blessed me with. And if we change this mindset and attitude, and you guys that are team leaders and stuff, it's all about setting the tone and the mindset of those group that you're leading. And we've got to get in a mindset that we get to give to God because He's given so much to us. He's saying, here, take the 90 and live and have fun. Have fun. Well, somebody said, what's that 10% going to? What are they doing with all that money? Well, your bottom's sitting in a nice cushioned seat. You know? It's 95 degrees out here this summer, and we got air conditioning in here. And I'm going to tell you, the electric bill ain't cheap here. So you teachers, make sure you turn off those lights, okay? But get to give. We get to give. And here's what happens, okay? So we are not a church that we're going to guilt you into giving. We're not going to guilt you into giving. Grant and Pastor BJ and myself, we don't sit in our staff meetings weekly and say, okay, let's write out a bill for all of them. And let's just send them a bill. That's not what it is. We're not guilting anybody in giving because I don't know what you give. I don't know. I don't want to know what you give. We're not setting and we're not a church that's going to send you a bill to say you have to pay your tithe. This is, if you're going to come to church, we're not a guilt to give church at all. We're not that. You've got to do this between you and God. It's between you and God. And also, we're not a give to get church, okay? It's not a country club. I don't care if I'm going to tell you, I don't care if it's the little old widow lady that has a fixed income that gives $5 with her heart. I don't care if you are rich with a good job and you give $5,000, it's not going to make you the board of the deacons. It's not going to work around that. It's not how it works around here. Okay? It's not going to, just because you give more doesn't put you up on this higher status and you get to, no, because we all are asked to give a tenth, faithfully give a tenth. And what that does is that tells me that we're all on this equal playing field of God. Because we all have given a tenth, whether your tenth is $500 or whether your tenth is $5. God is just asking us to give a tenth. We are truly, when I thought about this, and I'll show you why here in a second, we are I get to give. And I'm so thankful that we are a get to give. We get to give to this. Get to give that. God's blessed me with this, and I get to give. I get to give God His tenth. I get to do that. So it's not about this condemning spirit of feel guilty because you don't. No, it's about we get to give. I enjoy Sunday morning getting up and writing a check out because I love to, I get to give, and I'm so thankful for that. I get to give. Over here in Malachi, it says this right here. It says in 3:10, it says, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Here's what this message is not. This is not prosperity gospel, okay? We're not saying you come and give and give, and when you get, you come and give, and when you get home, your refrigerator's going to be full of money and food. It's going to be full. This is not prosperity gospel. And I'll show you in just a second, he's not promising you that you're financially are going to have a lot of a money tree out back. If you want groceries in your refrigerator, go to Kroger on the way home and get you some. Amen. You know, it's not just going to magically appear. It's not just going to do that. Neil, come here. I need your help for just a second. Come up here, brother. You're on stage here. So, let's take a look at this. Money, 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 money.
Yes.
Watch this. Watch this. So I'm going to ask you to do a few things, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to take this bill, and I want you to put it in your hand. I want you to close your fist, okay? And then what I want you to do is I want you to turn it like this.
All right.
Okay? So here's the approach that I think a lot of us, and sometime in our life, this is where we're at. It's your 10.
Yeah.
Neil, that's your 10. Mine. And you ain't going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So here's what God is trying to tell the children. Here's what he's trying to tell. He's trying to say, listen, I want to pour into your life. I want to pour into your life. But when I give you this, how are you ever going to be able to grab a hold of it? Because you're so worried about that 10. You still got it. That's right. You're still worried about that 10. And God's saying, I can bless you more. I can bless you more. Guess what? You open your hand, open like this, and watch what happens, okay? Here's what happens, okay? You give it, he'll feel it. 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 That's what God's doing. And I'm not talking about financial here, okay? This is not, you give it, he'll feel it. This is what he'll give you. He'll give you peace, hope, joy, love. He'll give you a desire to go out and share the gospel with all nations. He'll give you a desire in your heart where you can go and you can love your family with your whole heart. He'll give you a peace when nobody else has peace because you were willing to say, I'll give it, but I know God's going to give it back to me, okay? And it doesn't mean that I'll have this all these big cars and stuff, but what it does mean is that you'll have peace and contentment down in your soul and body and say, God, you've got this. You've got this, God. I'll be faithful to you, but I know you'll be faithful for me and you'll give me that peace that I need. Okay, that's what he do. Thank you, man.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, man. Just go on. Don't be worrying about that.
Right. Thought it might help.
Oh, yeah, don't be worrying about that. So that's what God will do for you. He wants to pour into you. And that's a good visual because we do. We hold on to that and we can't receive anything God wants to give us. We can't receive that. But buddy, when we open up our hand, he'll just pour it in. We say, God, I'll give it, I'll give it, I'll give it, I'll give it. Man, he gives you just so much peace. And so I'm happy when I give. I'm happy when I give because it just seems like things just work out when we have a giving heart and a giving spirit about us. Okay, so here's some reasons. I was thinking about these. I don't know if you guys will relate in these or not, but I've got a list of things. Here's what happens when you have such a faithfulness to God about giving your tithe. Number one, we get to grow in gratitude. Give to God, man, I'm thankful. I get to give. I get to give. We change the mindset. I get to give. I get to give. I get to give. And this is what comes. This is what God does for you. We get to train ourselves to obey God's instruction because I'm going to tell you, that's a hard thing to do. But when we train ourselves, it opens up so many more highways for us to listen to what God wants to do and the more he wants to do in our life. We get to participate in God's higher purpose. Here in just a second, I'm going to show you how that's done. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you a list of things that just come across my mind that I just jotted down. Next list, please. Number four, we get to break the back of greed and escape the chains of selfishness. Buddy, when you can let go of your money and give it to God and say it's his money anyway, you begin to break free of how you've clammed yourself up because you've held on to your money so much. You get to break. And we get to wage war on worry by placing our possessions under God's faith. God, I wage war on this, and guess what? It's yours, and if you'll provide. You'll provide. I may need to cut out a polar pop, but you'll provide. You'll provide. I know you will. We get to wage war on that. And that's such a good feeling because, honestly, these are things and that emotions. This is what I felt. And I think that if we change that perspective on what giving is and we get to enjoy what's left because we've given God our first and our best. Man. Get to enjoy what's left. You get to enjoy, you get 90% of everything God has blessed you because you've given him his 10%. 90%, you get to be blessed. You get to be, here's the thing. Okay, so first, you'll never understand what true giving is all about if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll never understand what it's about. It'd just be about money. That's what it's about. You'll never understand it. Because the first thing, when I got saved, the most important verse was me is I realized that God loved me enough that he gave his only son. And that's all that mattered to me. So from the very beginning, I know that God gave. And it teaches us in his word that we are to be like Christ. We are to be, if people see us, they need to know that, man, that person is a child of the living God. So he gave to us so we could give back to him. And here's two things, pop these two up, that really just boom, boom. We get to give, we get to give, we get to give, and this is the joy that we get out of that. We get to participate in something much bigger than us that will last much longer than any of us, and we get to spread the gospel to the whole world. To the whole world. So you get to givers in here. You get to givers. You're getting to participate in a whole lot that you're not even recognizing right now because, you know, we're focused on this church and we have this narrow vision, but there's so much that God is doing because we have a mindset as we get to give. I get to give. I get to give. I get to give. Well, tell me a few of those, Pastor. I get to give, so ultimately it breaks me free from the chains and the bondage that I once placed myself in. You get to give, so you get to be a part of fishing in the park. You get to give, you get to give, so you get to be a part of global missions. Change that perspective now. Think about this. Where is this money going? You get to give and you get to be a part of growing gone. That the majority of the proceeds goes to something to advance God's kingdom. Because you have the mindset, I get to give, I get to give. You get to be a part of the homeless coalition meal. You get to be a part of, God bless her heart, she was here this morning. You get to be a part of the Christmas bazaar. And I mentioned Kathy Henry this morning. First time I ever met Kathy Henry is when I come to one of those Christmas bazaar and she was selling beer cheese right out here in the foyer. And buddy, I got to talk to her. And but after that, she came to church and she called this place her home. And I'm thankful. Everybody that gives got to be a part of that. You got to be a part of that. She made this her home after she's seen the love of God in this place. Because we get to give. I've got to be a part of that. We got to be a part of the teacher backpack ministry. Well, we gave all elementary teachers here in Montgomery County, the church did, gave them all a backpack with supplies for them, and then they could give the backpack to a child. You got to be a part of that. You got to be a part of Operation Backpack, where we send out over 100 meals a week when it's our month, over 100 something meals a week to kids that don't have food at home. You got to be a part of that because you are a get to give church. You get to give. These are things that you get to be a part of. You got to be a part of the baby bottle blessing. Guess what? Glory to God, almost $4,000 was raised because people brought their change in and put it in a bottle. And that's helping troubled mothers and teenagers that are struggling out here in this world. You bless them. You got to be a part of that because you had a generous heart. You get to be a part of Kicks for Kids. You got to be a part of the Coat Drive, which the Coat Drive, we went to Montgomery County, Clark County, Powell County, and Bath County and got to give coats to all of these counties because there's kids out there that can't afford a coat. You get to be a part of that because you're a get-to-give church. You get to be a part of Bless the Elderly. And let me say, I didn't hit everything. These are the things that just come to my mind. You got to be a part of Nick at Night, where it was an outreach ministry. You get to be a part of a hot breakfast every morning out there in the cafe. You get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of VBS, Operation Shoebox, Trunk or Treat, Children's Church. You get to be a part of His Kids. You get to be a part of the Summer Kids Book Program, the adult studies, the youth camps, the children's camps, the online sermons. And guess what? You get to be a part of coming to this wonderful church that God has blessed every one of us with, that we can come down and truly grow in His Spirit and become better Christians for Him, that we can share the gospel with someone else. You get to be a part of that because you give your 10. Get to be a part of that. But the two things that really stuck out to me that is sharing the gospel is this. I don't think that you guys even realize how many lives have been changed on this altar in this church. Just this year alone, over 50-something people has come and professed their faith in believers' baptism, and it's because they had a place to come, because you're a get-to-give church. They had a place to come to hear the gospel and to get saved and then to get up there and profess their faith in believer baptism because of you all. I don't think that you understand how many lives were in the destructive path, how many marriages have been saved, how many addictions have been broken, how many demons have been cast out. I don't think that you understand what the importance of the tenth of giving to God, because we get to be a part of life-changing experiences every Sunday morning because we've got a place where people can come and pour their heart out to the living God in Christ. And because of what God did by sending His Son, because God don't need your money. He don't need you. He don't need you, but He has blessed you with an opportunity and a place to come to make a difference in this community, in this state, in this country, in this world. And you get to be a part of that because He showed mercy on you. And He's saying, if you'll be faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. You get to be a part of that. I get to be a part of that. Man, you get to be a part of all of that. And that's just skimming the surface. So don't make giving about this, but make giving about I get to give to God. Because He's given us so much. So this morning, while we pray, if God has blessed you to get to give and you want to thank Him, come to the altar, show Him praise. If you say, well, I'm just not there yet, I'm in one of those tipping modes where I'm tipping God. If you're just not there, come and say, God, show me, help me. Help me to get where I, because I know that You will bless my family and You will bless the people around you. If you're there, come to the altar this morning and say, God, thank You. You've given me so much. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you need salvation, you want to know what true giving's all about? Jesus Christ. And this morning you can come and meet the one who loved you enough to give His life for you. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the opportunity we get to give. The joy and the peace, God, I'm just so thankful. God, I'm thankful that I get to give something that my eyes can't even fathom, but it just goes to sharing and spreading the gospel to the world. We all get to give to that. And we want to praise You and honor You in the blessings that You bless us with. But God, we want to show our best to You and say, no, God, this is Yours. I'm giving it back. Someone doesn't have peace with that this morning. God, I pray that You'd move on their lives, that they can come to an altar, because lives will be changed this morning. And we always want to give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, respond, be obedient. Listen to what God wants to do in your life.